according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. How blessed are the poor in spirit, the reign of God is theirs. Blessed too are the sorrowing, they shall be consoled. Blessed are the lowly, they shall inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for holiness, they shall have their fill. Blessed are they who show mercy, mercy shall be theirs. Blessed too the peacemakers, they shall be called children of God. And blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of slander against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward in heaven is great. The Gospel of the Lord. Recall that we're reading from Matthew this year, who writes to a Jewish audience who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And today we begin the Sermon on the Mount, and we will hear it for the next several Sundays. And I encourage you to listen carefully to it because it's the fundamental core. These Beatitudes that we just heard are found only in Matthew's Gospel. But watch how cleverly Matthew pulls his Jewish audience in just in the first sentence. He says that after Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. Where in the Old Testament did they always go to meet God? Up on the mountain. Moses went up on the mountain for the Ten Commandments. Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain, etc. Then he says, Jesus sat down. Whenever the rabbi was going to teach, he sat down. Then Matthew writes, and his disciples gathered around him. And as soon as the rabbi sat down, his disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. And the phrase that he uses, blessed, is very prominent in Old Testament wisdom literature, and you will find it frequently in the Psalms. But note what Jesus says is blessed. He doesn't say, blessed are they who keep the law. Blessed are they who do that. He says, blessed are those who suffer because they're poor, because they're mourning. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they who show mercy. And then next week, the sermon will continue, and Jesus will talk about the fact that we are salt of the earth. But what happens if the salt goes flat? Or we are like the light of a lamp, and we put it on a table. We don't put it under the bed. And then he will continue, and he will show them how he is fulfilling the Old Testament law. Jesus will say to that audience, for example, you have heard it said, and then he will quote something from the Old Testament law. For example, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But then Jesus says, but what I say to you is, if you harbor anger in your heart against your brother, go and be reconciled, then come and make your sacrifice to me. What he's trying to do is move people from the letter of the law, a rigidity that says, if I keep this law, I'm saved, to a conversion of their heart. And what's the response? The people flock to Jesus, and religious leadership fights him tooth and nail because they like the law because they're in charge. Is this not what is fundamentally operative in Pope Francis's invitation to divorced and remarried Catholics? He's saying to them, sit down in the presence of your God. Ask yourself about your relationship. Am I a better person because of this relationship? Am I making my spouse a better person? Are we together a better unit to reach out to other people? If the answers to those questions are yes, is not God then part of something that is good? And why then would those people not come to the table of the Lord to be fed and nourished in the journey of life? Pope Francis is trying to move them from rigidity of the heart, rigidity of the law, to a conversion of the heart. And what's the response? The people are flocking to hear him, and much of religious leadership is battling him. But what else is new? Amen.